Shall we pray? In Jesus' name. Dear God, we thank you for another opportunity to look into your word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you speak to each and every one of us, a word in season, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that the Holy Spirit will grant us a word in season. For me, maybe it's because my birthday is in December. It's a special month. Everybody always says every month is special. But we celebrate the birth of Christ. And Christmas, we always say, you know, Christ is the reason for the season. You know, it's a cliche. The reason for the season, Christ. But we can't separate Christ from Christmas. And in the same vein, I'm like, you can't talk about Christmas without thinking about Easter. That's me. Because a journey started at his birth, but that journey was completed at his resurrection. Amen. Throughout this month, I've been reflecting on, you know, Christ, and we say he spent maybe 3 years of ministry on earth and some of the things he did. Today, I just want to share with us an incident that happened pretty much a few days before he was crucified. And I'm sure we all know the story. We all know the story about the fig tree. Yes? So I want to talk about the fig's story. Can we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11? Matthew 11. Matthew 11. We're going to read a few verses there. We'll read from verse 12. Matthew 11. Mark 11, my apologies. I'm not sure I read Matthew. Mark 11 from verse 12. It says, "Now, the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry." Jesus was hungry. "And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs." Verse 14. "In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." Verse 19. "When the evening had come, he went out of the city. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" Praise the Lord. How many people know the fig, the fruit? Okay. I'm not so adventurous. I've never eaten it before, but apparently it's very common and grows Middle East, western part of Asia. Apparently, when the leaves blossom on the fig tree, it's also associated with fruits being present on that tree. I've always wondered why would Jesus, you know, curse a tree. Why would it say, no, you know, no one's going to eat any fruit from you ever again? And every time I think about this story, that's always my thoughts. Why did he do that? But I think there are two lessons Jesus was passing across in this passage. And we'll just briefly touch on the two. I think the first one has to do with faith. Faith. So that with faith, you know, you can truly accomplish anything. If you have faith, you can accomplish anything. Sometimes the problem is that we're not bold enough to express our wishes. If you have faith, verse 24, Mark 11:24, it says, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That is Jesus speaking. What I tell people, see, there's some things we look at the Bible, we say, oh, yeah, maybe it was Paul's opinion. That was how Moses felt. Well, it was Joshua expressing his view. Jesus' word is his word. The first thing, when Peter said, wow, the tree you cursed the other day has dried up. What was his response? Faith. Have faith. Verse 22. He says, have faith in God. And you're thinking, what is the relationship between, you know, you said something yesterday and it's happened. And I say, have faith in God. Have faith in God. So, whatever you do, you can make a declaration if you have faith and it will happen. You can declare a thing and it will happen. He said, have faith in God. Then he goes on to tell them that, you know, whatever you say, whatever you pray, when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Many of us, we pray and we're not even convinced about the things we're praying. So we're praying out of obligation. We feel we're under compulsion. We have to pray. I just said we should save the prayer line number. Some people will join tomorrow, not because they really want to pray. Oh, okay, it's a church thing. They have to do it. But why are you doing it? When you're saying that prayer, do you really believe that God will do what you're asking for? A lot of the times, many of us, we don't even bother. So we're saying it's a prayer to pray. But we wouldn't. And yet, we are very expectant. James said that sometimes you don't receive because you don't ask. James 4:2. You're not asking. How do you expect to receive? You need to ask. You need to pray. All right, he went on to say that sometimes we ask for the wrong motives, for the wrong things. But at least someone is asking. If you don't ask at all, how are you going to receive? Praise the Lord. Faith is key. When you're praying, whatever you're praying for, believe that you receive them and you'll have it. What are you trusting God for? Are you believing that he's going to make it happen? Believe that it will come to pass and it will be. Now, in two instances, Jesus talked about, you know, this faith story. He talked about the mustard seed faith. How many of us are, again, familiar with the mustard seed? We've seen it before. You know, you almost need a microscope to see it. And Jesus said that, you know, what verse is that? Okay, let's look at Matthew 17 from verse 14. That was one instance he talked about the mustard seed faith. Matthew 17, verse 14. Actually, Let's look at verse 20. Jesus said to them, the disciples, there was the story of the epileptic boy from verse 14 to 21. A man brought his child, said, you know, the disciples should heal the child. They couldn't. He came to meet Jesus, told Jesus, your disciples couldn't heal this child. So Jesus prays for the child. Child is healed. The disciples ask, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we heal the child? Why couldn't we pray for this sick person and he gets better? And his response was, he said to them, because you're of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Why couldn't we heal the child? Because you don't believe. If you say to the mountain, move, it will move. In another instance, in Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, Jesus said a similar thing. He said, you know, if you say to the tree, be uprooted, it will be. Again, still talking about mustard seed faith. However little, that little faith, just a little faith. Quite a lot of scholars say that we shouldn't take it as literal. As in, so really Jesus wasn't saying that, pray that the mountain be moved and it will move. I take a different view. I believe that if a mountain needs to move, I mean physical mountain, a lot of us we've spiritualized everything. We'll say, okay, you know, yeah, the spiritual mountains in our lives. If there's a physical mountain that needs to move, he says, if you have a mustard seed faith, if there's a tree that is a nuisance that needs to go, are you praying? Now, how God would do his thing is God's business. If you pray for the tree, it's a nuisance. If it means, I mean, council can come the next day and clear the tree away. Has the tree gone? It has moved. Lightning can strike that tree and it dies and it rots. God will do what he's going to do. But the point is, I don't believe it's literal. I don't believe it's a figure of speech. I believe Jesus actually was saying the mountain will move. So you pray and you want a mountain to move, the mountain will move. I actually heard this story, a testimony of a person that there was a hill, not a mountain, a hill that was causing an obstruction of some sort. And she prayed and she was like, Lord, well, you said that the mountain will move. I want this hill. It's not a mountain, it's a hill, but I want it to be moved. And truly, I think the government of the land, I think they were trying to do some work. They cleared the hill away. If the government wants to do something, if they can tunnel through hills and do all that, how much more God? Don't underestimate God. Don't underestimate what God can do. Praise the Lord. So faith, I mean, with faith you can accomplish anything. Don't sell yourself short. You're a child of God. He said all you need is little faith. Believe in him. If you believe, all things are possible. Only believe. So, what has been happening this year so far? What is that thing that you're thinking? Is it possible? Is it not possible? It is possible because with God, all things are possible. Yes, the Bible says that, you know, that hope that is deferred can make the heart sick. But it says that when the hope is accomplished, it's like a tree of life. It brings a newness, a refreshing. So whatever it is, God will do it. Amen. The second lesson in that story for me, which I find very fascinating is this thing about seasons. I remember many years ago, I shared a message on Christmas Day that Christmas, you know, we say this, that, you know, it's not Christmas, it's not every day is not Christmas. How many of us have said that before? It's every day is not Christmas. Something is happening and you're enjoying, and then you now tell someone, every day is not Christmas, because you've added your way 2-3 times. You think you can continue having it your way. But you can. I believe Christmas should be every day. Sorry, does anyone agree with me? I mean, Christmas should be every day. Every day should be Christmas. Funny enough, after sharing that sermon, someone now came to me. And she was having a good streak. And then something went wrong. And I was like, see, you think Christmas is every day? She was like, well, Pastor, you just preached that every day is Christmas. So in whichever way you look at it, whether it's in fun and games, in your studies, every day should be Christmas. Amen. Seasons. There is a time and a season for everything, though. And in this story, the fig tree, we're told that it wasn't its season to bear fruit. It wasn't the season for the fruit to be there. Jesus Christ had an expectation from that fig tree. And this is what puzzles me. Was it right? I am not questioning God. And I'm not questioning Jesus. But it is a question that one would ask and say, was it right for Jesus Christ to curse a tree that we're told that it wasn't its season to bear fruit? So it wasn't its season. If they had said it was its season bearing fruit, so being at the right place at the right time, but not doing what ought to be done, we can say, oh, the fig tree messed up, right? But did the fig tree mess up in this regard? Because it wasn't its time. It says it wasn't its time. And yet, Jesus Christ went to the tree and said, you know, let me get some fruit. And he got there and saw no fruit. And decided, hey, because I came to you and there wasn't any fruit on you, no one else is going to eat from you. And the next day, we're told that the fig tree had dried up, dead. Nobody was going to eat from it. What was the fig tree's mistake? What did the fig tree do wrong? Food for thought. You know, I think about that, and I think to myself that as believers, and I pray God will help us. But you know what? First, I had to look at the life of Jesus Christ himself to understand that story. Remember the wedding at Cana? Do you all remember the story? Okay, let's have a quick look. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. I read. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever I say to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons of apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. We know the story. Jesus turned water into wine. But where did he start? He said that my hour hasn't come. It's not yet my time. It's not yet my time to manifest. Yet, he went ahead and did that miracle. That's the first miracle that was recorded. There's an expectation that as Christians, we should always be prepared. Even though it wasn't his time, even though it wasn't his hour, he was ready. I always say this about God, because God is God. If God says, this chair is black, you know it's black. We all think it's white. But if God says it's black, it's black. And that is God. In the same vein, if God asks something from you or demands something from you, you have what it takes to do that thing. If God wants you to accomplish something, if God says, go to this place, get this thing, then God has put everything required for you to do it there. Do you see where I'm coming from? So if God says, and he could put a time to it, he may not put a time to it, but if God demands, okay, you know what, you're going to be the head of a multinational business in 2 years' time, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not even working yet. It's not going to happen. But God is God. Because he said it, he will do it. If he asks you to do something, what you need to do it, he has already put there. So it's not about your perception. Am I ready or am I not? You just in your own right be prepared. When I look at 2 Timothy 4:2, that says that, you know, that we should be ready, we should be instant, both in season and out of season. And that says to me, you know, the Boy Scouts, they say, be prepared. Their motto. How prepared are you for whatever may come? As a child of God, as a Christian, are you prepared? Are you instant in season? Are you instant out of season? If anyone comes to you now and says, you know, you guys, you call yourself a Christian. What really is it that makes you have a hope? What is it that you hold on to? Why is it that you just, you know, you go on and on about, oh, I'm a Christian? Can you give an explanation? Because again, that's what Peter encourages us. He says that we should be ready to give a reason for our hope. 1 Peter 3:15. Why do you have a hope? You claim to be a Christian. Wherever you find yourself, someone comes to you today and they said, oh, you're a Christian? Can you pray with me? Are you ready to pray with that person? Oh, you're a Christian. I'm going through this thing. Do you have a word to share with that person? How prepared are we? It says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. There'll be times when things are not convenient. It's not the season. It's not, you know, you're going through so many things right now. Then someone comes to you. They want you to counsel them. Or someone just comes to you. They don't want anything from you. They just start pouring out, you know, this and this and this is happening to me. Do you have a word for them? Or are you just going to say, I know you guys don't speak like that, but some of us we do. We're like, hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Is that all you're going to do? Why do you think people are saying some things to you? Now, if you've already made your position clear, they know you're a Christian. Your classmates know you're a Christian. Your colleagues at work, your neighbors, they know you're a Christian. They know you go to church. They know you pray to God. And yet, they share some things with you. Even though they're not Christians, they share some things with you. How do you seize the opportunity? Why would a colleague tell you, oh, in confidence, I've got prostate cancer? If you're from my neck of the world, you say, Kbele. Kbele, that's what Yoruba said. They say, sorry. And chicken eye, we go on. Is that all you're going to do? What word can you offer to that person? What word of comfort can you offer to that person? Praise the Lord. Romans 13:11. Just a phrase there. I'm sure we all know it. That phrase says that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It says, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Being prepared. By the grace of God, I think we're in 2017. I rededicated my life to God in 1993. That's 20-something years now? 24-odd years? When I rededicated my life to Him, to this point, I know I'm not going to live forever. And none of us are going to live forever. If Christ comes today, if you're walking with Him, if you're living in His will, you're saved. If He doesn't come and we live to a ripe old age, whatever that ripe old age will be, we're drawing closer to Him. So since you gave your life to Christ, since you acknowledged, and if you've done it, if you haven't done it, you need to. Because surely there is something after this. But since you acknowledged Him as your Lord and Savior, you've chosen to walk with Him. Whether it was 5 years ago or 50 years ago, rapture, if that is the way you're going to go, is closer. If it is not rapture, if it is that you'll sleep with Him in the Lord, you're closer. We're all closer to the end than the beginning. However you look at it, every second we get closer to the end. So your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. It may happen in the twinkling of an eye, and we're walking, we're going to work, we're going to school. Christ comes, takes His own. Are you going to be among those that He's going to take? How prepared are you? Think about the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. Talking about preparedness, being in season. You think about the 10 virgins. Lovely story. If we use the analogy, all the 10 virgins, they were expecting the bridegroom. So it wasn't a case of unbelievers and believers. They were all expectant. They were all waiting for the bridegroom. Now, again, whatever the extra oil is, they say that 5 of them had extra oil and 5 didn't. 5 were prepared. They were expectant, but they were also prepared. It's not enough to just expect, okay, yes, Jesus is coming. Yes, we know He's coming. Are you prepared for His coming? Are you doing the things that you need to do so that when He comes, you go with Him? Praise the Lord. He said that the bridegroom took time coming, and when the bridegroom came, some of the virgins, 5 of them, their oil had run out. Those that were prepared had extra oil, which they could use to top up. How prepared are you? How prepared are you for the tasks He's asking you to do? How prepared are you if He comes now? He's giving you everything you need to live life to the full. He's giving you everything you need says everything that pertains to life, to godliness, is given to you. It says all you need to do is exercise a little faith. A little faith goes a long way. So a mustard seed faith, what are you trusting him for? Have you asked? It says, when you pray, not if you pray, Mark 11:24. Not if you pray, when you pray. So he expects you to. Are you praying concerning those things? So whatever you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You shall have them. That's his word. The mustard seed faith goes a long way. Faith and preparedness. Shall we rise to pray? It's not that that fig tree did anything wrong. But when Christ had an expectation of the tree could not deliver. The tree had what it took to bear the fruit that Christ wanted. But when Christ asked of it that fruit, it could not deliver, hence the curse. For Christ is able, he says that even you, that with a mustard seed faith, you can say to a mountain, be moved and cast into the sea. You can say to a tree, move from one point to another. Is there a tree in your life? Is there a mountain that you need to move? It says all you need is a little faith. All you need is a little faith to move that mountain, to move that tree. It could be a literal tree. It could be a figurative tree. As the year comes to an end, as we're going into a new year, there could be that thing that is posing a significant challenge. That's why the prophet could say that, you know, who art thou, mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will be made plain. It says it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So whatever the mountain is, whatever the tree is, whether physical, whether spiritual, whether literal, whether figurative, it says that you can speak the word to it. That when you pray, if you believe it will happen, if you believe it will move, if you believe it will dry up, it says, believe when you pray. Ask for it, believe you will receive it. You shall have it because you've prayed to him in faith, not wavering. Why don't you just pray that the Lord will help your faith? That you will grow in faith as we come to the end of the year, as we go into a new year, that you will increase in faith. Peradventure, you felt that it hasn't been quite the way it should be for you. Why don't you pray that the Lord will help you to grow in faith? He says all you need is a little faith. But we can have great faith. You can pray for the Holy Spirit for that gift. The extraordinary faith. But in truth, you don't need extraordinary faith to move mountains. It says a mustard seed faith. As sure as there's day and night, the Lord that came the first time over 2,000 years ago is coming back. We celebrate his birth now.